You're listening to DottoTech, helping you get the most out of your technology wherever you use it, at home, at school, or at work. Brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. 20 years, the trusted voice of technology in Canada, Steve Dotto.
Hello and welcome to Dotto Tech. I'm Steve Dotto and we are glad you're joining us this fine day. Art Factor, how are you, sir?
I'm good. Recovering from the weekend.
Was it a hard weekend?
I didn't have a hard weekend. I had a busy social weekend.
What were you doing?
On Friday, I spent a couple, over the weekend, I spent a couple nights at the Boulevard Casino at the Red Robinson Show Theater.
Were you performing?
I was not performing one day because it's a great theater. On Friday, I went with my dad to go see Jerry and the Pacemakers.
Oh, nice.
Ferry across the Mersey. Yeah, he rocked that. And then on Saturday, went with my girlfriend to go see Jay Leno.
Oh.
Yeah, so it was quite the...
Was Jay Leno good?
He was Jay Leno. It was like watching an hour and a half of his monologue. So if you love watching his monologue every night, imagine getting to watch an extended version of it.
Because I suspect he wouldn't work that hard.
I think as a comic, I know this because I think it's already set in for me. It's not easy writing new material, mm-hmm. especially stuff that is extremely edgy and interesting to you, because you know I've been doing it now for 6.5-7 years, mm-hmm. and not as much interests me as it did when I first started. I remember just writing books and books, like notepads of material, and now I don't know. It seems like the tap has been almost running. It's running drier than it was, and I can just imagine. For Leno, after 40 years of doing this, what does he have left to talk about?
Well, there's something new every day.
Well, that's what a lot of it is, current event stuff.
Yeah. Well, of course there has to be. Yeah. So I was recovering this week. We did our Protectivity workshop last week.
Hollyburn.
In West Van at Hollyburn Club. Yes.
And?
Went over quite well. It was good. Yeah. You know, the amazing thing is I live in technology, and this stuff is my life.
Yes.
I sit down in one of these workshops, and one of the presenters always shows me something that I didn't know. It's, you know, and I don't, I know it sounds terrible. I know everything, but, you know, I've been around for a long time. I live in technology, and for me to be surprised, there's just so much happening in the world of productivity, in the world of tech. So our presenters were always bringing up something new that always just blows me away.
Are you trying to say that this old dog learned some new tricks?
I might have learned a new trick. I don't know if I learned a new trick this week per se, but I did see new things that I thought were pretty cool. You know, it was also the first time that we presented some things before an audience, because it's dynamic. So one of the products that we showed for the first time in front of an audience that we incorporated into the workshop this time is a product called Less Meeting. Have we done Less Meeting on the show? Is it a product you've heard of?
No.
I don't think we've talked about it on the show yet, but we are going to, and I will now, as a matter of fact. Less Meeting is this app. So when you think about where we lose time on a daily basis, we lose a lot of time in our email. We lose time booking meetings. We lose time. One of the biggest time wasters, actual meetings. Think about, am I right?
Oh, I know it from this place.
Everybody who's ever worked, it seems that the larger the organization, the more time wasted in meetings. And it can become a colossal time waster. So the folks at Less Meeting recognize this. And right from the get-go, they're dealing with the issues around meetings. So the first step is, when you book a meeting, you include an agenda. So in the meeting invite that you get in Gmail or in Outlook, it has an agenda. So you can see what's going to be discussed. And it has time for each element. We're going to talk 10 minutes on this, 10 minutes. So you can set all the different timing and those sorts of things. Once you're at the meeting, you can then open the Less Meeting agenda, which was basically what you used to invite people to the meeting. It's a dynamic document. It lives online, sort of like Google Docs lives online. And each of the meeting points you can take notes on, and you can be making notes on them as you're taking the notes. And anybody else who has a subscription to Less Meeting, and it costs about $10 a month for a subscription, but corporate, you know, you can buy corporate licenses.
You can write that stuff off.
They can see the meeting as well. They can see the notes that you're taking. So have you ever gone to a meeting and then been sent notes a week later, a couple days later, and say, wait a minute, I don't remember saying that, right?
Right.
You have those sorts of things. So here everybody can see what's being written. Multiple people can be taking notes. You can assign tasks to individuals at the meeting or other individuals. So you can be creating a task list out of it and a to-do list out of it. You can attach documents to the meeting. When the meeting is over, you click a button and it takes the meeting and it compiles all the notes and sends it to all of the different participants. It'll also take that document, create a PDF or a Word file from it, upload it to your corporate server, create a wiki out of it, send it to Evernote, whatever you want. So you've got all of this tremendous control over the meeting. When you start the meeting, it starts a timer. And as it counts down for each of the items that you gave time to, it says 3 minutes left for this item, 2 minutes left for this item. So you can be saying to the people that pontificate a lot, like I'm doing right now, can you move it along?
We only have two minutes left for this.
You're right. So you can keep people on time. It has when you create the meeting, you can see what the end time of the meeting is based on all of your agenda items. Really, they've thought a lot out of this. So obviously, by my excitement, I like this product.
I see that.
But it was the first time I presented it before an audience. I've never told people about it before. So I was showing the audience it. I was showing the attendees at the workshop it. And they were just smitten by it, I believe is the term. Yes.
Well, it makes you accountable. I mean, I think part of the reason why these meetings sometimes seem like a waste of time because
they are a waste of time.
Well, everyone gets together and everyone says, all right, there is what we want to do. Rah, rah, rah. Let's get to it. And then you separate. There's no accountability.
Yeah.
No one ever does anything.
And there's no to-dos. There's no assignments. There's no things that have to be followed up on. So you've got all of those things. They even have something called the parking lot, whereas if somebody said, you know, you're in a meeting and somebody says, by the way, you know, we have to start thinking about where we're going to have our Christmas dinner. Or, by the way, next month I'm bringing in Girl Guide cookies. It would be nice if everybody bought some. You know, that could go on the parking lot. It's not part of the work you're talking about, but it can still be a part of the official discourse that happened within that meeting itself.
So do they allot time for, like, checking out pictures on Facebook and uploading pictures to Instagram and checking status updates on Twitter?
I don't.
No?
You could.
Because they should.
No. Yeah, because people are doing that. Yeah. You know, people do that a little bit. People will do that a little bit in the meetings. We have a simply phenomenal show for us today. I'm really excited to this. One of the people who I really look up to in the industry, Mari Smith, is going to be joining us in just a few minutes to talk about Facebook and a workshop that she has coming up. This woman knows her stuff. You'll be impressed and happy if you stick around and listen to that. Plus, we're going to be talking about you feel like cruising art?
I love cruising.
Well, there's a social media cruise. You can go on a cruise and you can learn. Not sure about the speakers they got. They got Maffin booked as a speaker. I'm not sure if that's all that wise. You know, I think he's skinny. He gets seasick easy.
Who's going to take him to the port? Is he going to take a cab or he doesn't drive?
He's got this little moped thing.
Okay. Can you park those at the port of Vancouver?
I don't know. I don't know what he does. I don't know how he gets around. But yeah, for those of you that don't, every time Todd comes on the show, he says, can somebody drive me out to the studios? it's kind of, he's our very special guest, but he's not on today. But Mari Smith is, and Paul from Social Media Camp is going to be on. And, of course, we have Julian from London Drugs on. So, by and large, this is going to be an exceptional hour of tech radio.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better. Except maybe
visit our
you.
Website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us.
Dotto Tech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better. Except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
Joining me online now from her home in San Diego is one of the real luminaries of the social media world, Mari Smith. Now, Mari has been referred to by Forbes as one of the top social media power influencers that there is. I heard her speak at Social Media Camp, and I can attest this woman knows her stuff. Mari, thanks so much for spending some time with us today.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm delighted to be here. And Canada was my place of birth and my home for the first 12 years.
Indeed, you're a Kootenays girl.
That's right. I sure am. Way out in the boonies.
Now, Mari, though, because everybody in Canada listening right now is going, what? Because you don't sound like you're coming from the Kootenays, unless there's this little village in the Kootenays that's somewhere buried in Scotland.
You're right. My parents are both Scottish. They were born and bred there, and then they met in Canada and had their family there. And then when I was 12, I moved back to Scotland with my dad, and my sisters and my folks broke up. So I've had a bit of a kind of a global lifestyle. I feel very blessed to have a Canadian citizenship and British citizenship and then American green card. I'm a tri-national, I guess, and Scandifornian or something like that.
Well, you came to the social media camp a couple of weeks ago here in Victoria, and everywhere you went, there was a gaggle of people following you, getting their picture taken with you, and you were just wowing them in Victoria, and for good reason. Your keynote was outstanding, as you talked about. A lot of the Facebook issues, and Facebook is really what you kind of specialize in.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. You know, I have quite the background since the early 2000s in internet marketing and information product creation and as a public speaker. And then my two passions for many, many years, in fact, even, you know, a decade or two before that, throughout my varied career in Scotland, I've always had these two primary passions and threads have run through my career, and that is my love of people and my love of technology. And so when social media came along, and it really started with for me with Facebook in 2007, Facebook just pretty much landed in my lap, and I got invited to be on a beta team of an app, and I just pulled the site up, and I thought, oh my gosh, it's just one of those life-changing moments, a defining moment that I thought something profound and powerful is going to happen here with this site. I was amazed at the ease with which I could connect with pretty much anyone on the planet. And at that time, you know, they hadn't even reached their first 100 million.
Mm-hmm. 75 million. Even reached their first 100 million. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I thought this is an absolutely phenomenal, like, primary platform that we can all connect with one another through it. So
Facebook just drew you because of the interpersonal connections.
Well, that was part of it, you know, and I had been on MySpace, and quite frankly, my head hurt every time I went to MySpace. I'm like, who is on this site? It wasn't my demographic. It wasn't my peers. I just didn't get it, and it was meant for a younger audience and obviously for people who were really into music and videos and animations and all that kind of stuff. I was on LinkedIn, and I found LinkedIn, you know, just wasn't hugely conducive to immediate engagement and conversation, but when Facebook came along, there was just something magical, even just the layout. I loved all the white space. I liked their use of blue. I liked the uniformity of the profiles. Like, mm-hmm. if you went to anybody's profile, the information was all in the same spot, and it was easy to find and to operate. So, yeah.
So it brought together your love of technology and your love of people, but quickly you injected also your business acumen to this, and you've always looked at Facebook as a vehicle for doing business, which is in some cases it can be a little bit juxtaposed to what some people's thoughts of Facebook should be.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. Well, the vast majority of the 1 billion plus users on Facebook are there for personal reasons, and so as a business person, as a marketer, we have to keep that in mind. So mm-hmm. there's a really wonderful way to present yourself in a way that I call relationship marketing. So I do choose to share elements of my personal life. They're interwoven throughout my different updates. And on my personal profile, you know, my formula is about 1 in 10 posts will be of a business nature, and 9 in 10 will be more of a personal, inspirational, sometimes I put some more spiritual things in there, some things, you know, posts that make people laugh or cry or go, mm-hmm. aw. That's my formula. Whereas on my fan page, those are specifically designed for businesses to promote themselves and talk about business. So the formula would be the other way around, 9 out of 10 of a business nature, and 1 out of 10 would be maybe a little, not necessarily personal, but like off topic or just asking a question and just getting to know my fans. So, yeah, and even just from back in 2007, I instantly used the platform for professional networking.
Mm-hmm. Now, and that works for somebody who has a degree of celebrity or a public profile is incorporating both the personal and private pages for business. But I think most business owners are going to eschew the personal side of Facebook and keep that to their personal life and instead concentrate on the fan pages. And what I personally, you know, I've talked to many, many businesses, and what are the universal frustrations that the small business person feels as they try to step into the Facebook world and try to leverage it?
Yeah, I would say probably that the top of the universal frustration list is the fact that Facebook keeps changing so often. And, you know, a year and a half ago or so, they really moved steadily to a pay-to-play model. And mm-hmm. they've come right out and said a couple of years ago that they only display your posts in the news feed of approximately 16% of your fans. So that's, you know, of every 100 fans, only 16 are actually seeing your content in their news feed.
Unless you pay.
Unless you pay, yeah. And that's the thing. Now, you could get, no, listen, here's the deal. I'm Scottish. I've got frugal Scottish genes. If I don't have to pay for things, I'd just assume not.
Mm-hmm.
Hope nobody from Facebook's listening. But
no, it drives me crazy. Yeah, I hate the fact, you know, just as, well, and not just being Scottish and cheap, as you're kind of alluding to there, but the fact that, wait a minute, these people have said they like my product. These people have come, they're like my friends. They have said, I like what Steve has to say. So when I post something on my page and then Facebook says, hey, if you want people to actually see it, you have to pay us, I'm going, oh, I'm angry at Facebook. I'm not happy.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, there are a lot of ways that you can create organic engagement. You know, and a few tips for folks here would be make sure that you post a little bit more images and straight short text updates, like status updates, as opposed to links. Don't post too many links, but you can include links when you're doing your images. So just include a photo or a graphic when you want to share a link, because links get the lowest points, if you will. There's a complex algorithm called EdgeRank, that determines what goes into the news feed. So that's one way. But also, you know, a really simple one is including requests for social action, so calls to action that would look like, if you know, please share this with your friends if you like this, if you agree, click like, what are your thoughts, share in the comments below. It's amazing what can happen when people are just simply told what to do in a very nice manner.
So does,
they'll respond.
Does Facebook do some of the same kind of algorithm things that Google does, in that if a lot of people come to a page, if a lot of people like a page, if a lot of people forward a page or favorite a page or do those sorts of things, then Google sees, and I'm hoping Facebook, sees additional value, universal value to that content, so it gets shared more broadly, organically?
That's absolutely right. That's absolutely right, Steve. That's what happens. And that's where, if you can really create an inspired and engaged community on Facebook, you may not have to spend a whole lot at all on promoting your posts and buying ads. The other thing, too, is you can drive traffic from other sources. So you want to use Facebook as a means to generate leads, to actually capture email addresses and drive people back over to your blog or website. That's one way to do it. And then, you know, make offers through your email list. But, yeah, no, that's absolutely is what happens. The more – it's kind of a catch-22, though, right? Because the more people engage with a page, then the more the posts are seen. But then how do you get to that point? So it's just a lot of it can actually be trial and error depending on your community.
Now, I know that if people are doing – you know, if you're in business, you have a goal of doing your business, be it selling a house, be it signing up people to your to buy insurance, selling a mortgage, whatever, having people sign up for courses or listen to our show. We've all got a end game in our business, in our business model. How do you avoid that being what's put forward all the time on your Facebook page, and how do you come up with content that's going to slowly move people into that space? Do you know what I mean?
Right. Okay, so just so I understand, you're posting content on your page that's...
I guess I'm asking, what's the best type of content to be posting? Because the nature is, you know, our immediate impulse is to say, come to my workshop, right? but we don't really want to. That's what I want you to do, but I've got to figure out a way to kind of soft sell that.
Right. Well, the soft sell, you're absolutely right. Well, here's the deal. First and foremost, you've got to spend time building up what we call social equity.
Okay.
And what social equity looks like is you're adding value that's completely pitch-free, that's, you know, sales-free. And it's totally okay to share what I call OPC, other people's content, because, you know, you can't know everything. So you're going to share some resources and tips and, you know, links over to other people's sites. And then when people are really enjoying the value that you're adding, the way to do it, here's the thing, I got a webinar coming up, and I'm not going to be saying, you know, click here to sign up now. Hey, sign up for this webinar. I'm going to do it in a way where I'm bringing people along, and I'm kind of reporting the same way that I might post a picture going, here's me at the beach. I'm saying, woohoo, look at that. We got, you know, 7,000 people just signed up, or 8,000 people. And I'm keeping people excited and involved and reporting out what's happening, even though I'm also very much in strategic marketer mode, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this back to a point we were making earlier about, like, selling on Facebook. A saying came along way back in 07 or 08 that when it comes to these social networks, when the marketers move in, the members move out.
Mm.
And I've said for years, you know, Steve, that the secret, therefore, to success is to come from the approach of being a member first and then a marketer. So you just look at how people are sharing their personal updates, and you kind of have that style, even though you're saying to people, hey, sign up for my webinar, or whatever it might be, click through to sign up for whatever, buy this project, widget. But you're doing it in a way that's just much more social. Does that make sense?
So I think that concept of giving value to your community is absolutely essential to being to building your brand, to building a relationship, to building credibility and what you're calling social equity with your audience. But I guess the balancing act that so many business people have is how much time and energy is it going to take me to do that on Facebook? Is there a simple answer to that question?
Yeah, it depends.
That's not the simple answer I was expecting.
Well, but here's the simple answer. The main thing it depends on is how much time you have available and your resources and your budget. Because honestly, you could hire someone, you could outsource someone maybe 2 hours a week to find really good content for you and to schedule that out so that at minimum you know that you have one really good piece of content a day going onto your Facebook page. And then maybe that same person could just take 5 or 10 minutes a day to respond to any posts or comments that the fans are making. That way it feels like there's someone is consistently there on the page. And if you have that time as the business owner, then that's great. But, that would kind of be at a minimum. You don't have to spend hours and hours a day or a week, but, you know.
That, yeah. You might have just answered my question. Is that the minimum engagement that should be expected is daily content?
Well, here's some startling statistics. So there's studies out there that have discovered that clear 50% of all the posts and comments by fans are being ignored by brands and businesses. So here's the other thing, though, that there's other studies that have been done that is money on the table because that is being left on the table because when these fans get a response to their comments or posts, 80% of them go on to make a buying decision, which I love that because that, to me, it boils down to the fundamental need that people want to know that they matter, they're being heard, they're being listened to, especially if it's a bit of a complaint. And usually that can be easily dissipated when a brand comes along and responds.
Wait a minute. So 50%? Are you saying that 50% of the fan posts that post on a brand's page are ignored by that brand itself?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
That is staggering. I'm stunned at that.
I know. It's like the elephant in the room. It's like nobody's even realizing that. That is where to put your money. That's where to put your social media money, depending on the size of your business.
And somebody has to. And somebody has to ask them the question. If you're there, you're there to listen. Are you not?
Yes.
Because this is a direct connection. Because you're putting it out there in the public. You're giving a forum for them to speak. You better be paying attention. Wow. You better be getting out there working.
Some of it's just sheer volume. It's
yeah.
Just they don't have sufficient resources in place to handle the volume.
Okay. Well, that's reasonable. And I guess if they're getting that many complaints, but then you should probably be taking your Facebook fan page down, I think, if you're not going to pay attention to what's being said on it. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing because there's some other studies being done that when a Facebook user complains or writes a post on a fan page, they expect a response within 30 minutes.
Oh.
The average right now is close to 14 hours. If as and when they do get a response, it's just under 14 hours, which is good news. It used to be 24 hours. The number's coming down. So
it's
better at responding.
It's interesting because 14 hours to me doesn't seem to be an inordinately long time. Now, I'm respecting that people have different expectations, but I'm thinking for a company to be able to turn around all that kind of communication within basically a business day, that's pretty good.
Right.
But you're saying the audience expects better, so they have to strive for better.
Truly. You're right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what are the biggest mistakes, if you could boil it down to two or three mistakes that businesses make so that we can just avoid those?
Yeah. Well, I'd say one, and this is going to be very much along a theme that we're talking about here, one would be automating. So I see a lot of businesses will set up a fan page, and then there's apps that you can plug in or add to your page that will pull in let's say, through an RSS feed, your blog posts. And so all that's going into that fan page, I see this a lot on Twitter, too, where it's like the lights are on, but nobody's home. You get this automated content just getting poured onto the wall. Nobody's really seeing it because it's mostly links. Mm-hmm. And then if there are posts and comments and likes and whatnot, nobody's really responding. So that's number one mistake, is just over-automating and kind of thinking that you can set and forget. That's not very good at all for business. The second one would be not really having a plan, of just having this kind of scattered approach and being sporadic and, you know, maybe posting something every other week and wondering, you know, why your social media is not working for you. That I see that happen a lot, not really having a strategy or a plan. And the third thing would be absolutely is, you know, ignoring the fan comments or just not responding to all of them, which is really critical.
So really all of the things that you're talking about for the most part are levels of engagement. It's actually paying attention to it, as opposed to thinking that it's like a website that you could, like a static website that you could build and then just have it sit there. It's not an information source. Facebook is a dialogue. It's a communication with your customers, and it has to be treated as such. Yeah.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Good. Now, I think people can take some positive steps towards that plan, that second mistake that you said is having a plan. That is the one that's a gaping chasm for me, because I don't think I have a plan. But I do have a plan on how to get a plan. How does that sound?
It's a step in the right direction.
So you've got this workshop coming up on June 4th, which is a free 90-minute seminar, and you're going to talk about all the things that we've just been talking about, right?
We're going to go really in-depth. The cool thing is that people will be able to see my computer screen. I'm going to actually be demonstrating specifics to show them what to click, how to post, how to get a better response. We'll walk through a little bit of the ad products and just really, really how to monetize. It's the main thing we're going to focus on. It's called 7 Steps to Facebook Success, How to Make Money on the World's Number One Social Network. So, yeah, it's really exciting. I'm just very much looking forward to it.
So, they can register online at mariusmith.com. Mm-hmm. There'll be a link on our site as well. And it's called 7 Steps to Facebook Success, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And they can find it at my fan page as well, facebook.com/mariusmith.
Good. And it is an hour and a half?
It is indeed, 90 minutes. We're going to do some live Q&A, some prizes and giveaways, and lots of really practical tips that people can implement pretty much right away.
And this isn't your first rodeo. You've done these sorts of workshops before, haven't you?
That's correct. I do them. This size I do about once a quarter. We're 8,500 are signed up, but I'm striving to beat my record of 15,000 registrations.
Holy jumping. That's a lot of people. Now, just out of curiosity, what do you use to deliver it? What platform do you use to deliver that?
We use Livestream. Livestream.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And I rent a TV studio, and I leave all the tech up to them. I typically do webinars from home, from my home office, and I'm all set up for it. But when it comes to these giant ones, I just hand the tech over to the guys, and I just show up, look pretty, and
you've got to do that. You have makeup then. It's always good to have makeup.
Yeah, hair, makeup, the works.
Good stuff. Now,
so
these workshops, we will have links to these workshops, and we should also mention, we would be remiss if we didn't mention your books, 2 good books out there, New Relationship Marketing, and you co-authored Facebook Marketing, An Hour a Day.
Yeah.
And there we can find those on your site as well, I imagine.
On Amazon or on my site, marismith.com.
It's always.
M-A-R-I. Mari, I used to say Mari like calamari, but now it's Mari like Ferrari.
Mari, you're like Ferrari, mariusmith.com. Mari, thanks so much for sharing with us today. And I'm signed up. I'm one of your 8,000, so I'm going to be there listening on the 4th.
Fabulous.
I'm looking forward to
it. Okay, good.
Okay.
Thank you, Steve.
Mari Smith, thanks so much for your time.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dottotech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
Joining me online now, Julian Saunders from London Drugs. How are you doing, Julian?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing just tickety-boo. Summer is getting close. Now, talk to me about summer travel gadgets.
Well, one of the things that I've run into when I travel is limits on my Wi-Fi at hotels. It really bugs me that you can only connect one or two devices, maybe three, and when you're paying so much per night for Wi-Fi, it gets tedious.
Man, does that drive me crazy, the charges of some hotels. And it's always the better hotels.
Exactly,
it's
yeah.
And
some of them even only have a wire. I can't believe that still happens, that they don't have Wi-Fi.
Not happy with those guys. Not happy. So what's the solution?
Well, one that myself and our head nerd, Cedric Tetzel, have used before is the D-Link DIR-505 SharePort Mobile Companion. So it's a very long word. It's a little white, looks like a power brick that might come with a tablet. And basically, you can share any wireless or wired internet connection easily. It sets up with an app that's on your phone or tablet, or you can set it up with a computer. But then you don't have to worry about how many devices you're connecting. So if you're traveling with the family and you're paying for internet, you can share it with however many you'd like. It's up to you to manage it, because the internet sees it as one device.
Okay, so it's basically a router that sits in the middle and grabs the connection and then distributes it.
You got it. Yeah, it's a little. It fits in your pocket too. It's a little pocket router. Is a good way to say it.
So it's an option to people in the Apple world might be carrying an Apple Airport Express. It'll do a very similar thing.
Yes. Yeah. It has a couple of extra benefits. It does the same network extending that the Airport Express does. So you can use it to cover a dead spot at home when you're not on the road.
Good.
It also has a USB port, and that's my favorite feature still of the SharePort. You can plug in a little USB flash drive to it, and then share what's on the flash drive with any device.
Oh, okay.
So you can broadcast out movies.
Okay, so now that will work even if your internet connection isn't fast in the hotel room, but you got two kids and they're watching movies on two different devices, like two different iPads or something like that. Then you can have the new movies on a flash stick or on a small little USB hard drive, and it's just serving them to that area. So it's never even going out to the internet.
Right.
Got it. That's a pretty cool option.
Yeah, and because it's a little router, it actually has a bit of power. So mm-hmm. I've heard of people using it when they're with a room full of business people. Mm-hmm. They can plug in a flash drive, and everybody can pull off the same content. So it's very easy. You just tune into the wireless network and click on your drive. It's very easy to set up too.
Got it. That sounds pretty good.
And it's only it's very inexpensive for what it is. It's only $40.
Excellent. Okay, what's next?
The next one would be the Surf Easy Plug-in Privacy Key, which we've covered before, but it's a really good one for summer travel. It's a little USB flash drive, costs $70, and it basically makes your web browsing anonymous and secure. So you don't have to worry about getting Wi-Fi from any random cafe in a random city that you might not trust. It makes your web browsing completely private to the internet service provider and to anybody else that might be looking on.
Now, let me ask you, this is if I'm using somebody else's computer as opposed to using my own computer, correct?
Right. It's a great solution for your own computer for masking your location, though.
Oh, okay.
I actually use one all the time to make my web browser look like it's in the States, because I get a better price on some of the magazines, and I'm not blocked by all of those. This website cannot be accessed from Canada.
Can we talk about this on the radio?
I can't see why not.
Okay. Would it work for Netflix?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, there's a bandwidth limitation. So you're streaming video, it's a lot of information coming over, but it does let Netflix work. But because you're basically accessing Surf Easy's secure server, there's a lot of bandwidth that can happen, and there is a cap to how much you can use.
So it's not an ideal Netflix to get an American account solution.
Not permanently, no. No, but it is good for, say, on your laptop while you're on the road. It is quite a big bandwidth cap. It's usually 2 gigs, and their website has pricing plans above that.
That is nothing. 2 gigabytes. Ha, I use that before breakfast. And it's not a cheap option, $70, but it is if you are but it's really ideal if you're going to be if you're traveling and you're going to be jumping on foreign computers, somebody else's computer, logging into your Gmail, your Google account, even your bank account, any of those sorts of things through a browser. this gives you the security that, to know that your privacy is being protected.
That's right, and it never expires. It's not a subscription; it's permanent.
Okay, so that is the what is it called again? I had it.
Surfeasy.
There we go. Okay, what's next?
The Roam Mobility guys have been making waves. A good Vancouver company that have a prepaid U.S. SIM card for your tablet or your even your unlocked phone. And this is an awesome option when you have an iPad or another cellular-enabled tablet. If you want to go to the States, you don't have to worry about going into a kiosk and getting set up on another account.
Mm-hmm.
Basically you pay for the service, and they have three different levels of data that you can use. And you set it up before you go. When you go to the States, you just turn it on, and your tablet will work there. So it gives you a really good data plan starting at $40.
Yeah, the Roam, if you are traveling in the States, getting a SIM from Roam is the only way to go, I think, unless you've got an unbelievable package because you're an international traveler all the time or something like that. Excellent choice. What's next?
The USB chargers for when you're on the go. There's a lot of newer chargers that are charging at 2.1 amps, so it's a good idea to check your travel adapters and make sure that they work on the higher amperage. That'll charge your smaller devices, like your cell phone, faster, and it'll also work on your tablet. So it's a good idea to check those out.
And so that's a pretty useful little device. So what's that one called?
The DigiPower 4 port is one that I recommend, but there's several different ones available. We also have a couple from DigiPower that are on for a very good sale until they come with cables and everything for your phone. So come down to the store and check them out. Ask one of our friendly nerds.
So this is a nice option because especially if you're traveling, like I can see often being on the road with two iPads and two iPhones.
Exactly.
And so having to charge all four devices at the same time, you just don't have enough chargers. So we're doing the charger swap all the time.
And it's annoying when you're wanting to figure out when you're packed, do I bring my cell phone charger or my tablet charger? You don't have to worry. It's nice to have just one.
I like that idea. How much is what's the price on that one?
The DigiPowers are $29.99 for the 4-port.
Okay, that is a good deal. I want one. Put one aside for me, Julian.
Will do, yeah. Come on down to Saskatoon. It's yours.
Okay, you got time for one more. One more.
Well, little traveling tablets is one that a lot of people don't think about. You might have your older tablet that's 10-inch. There's a few tablets that are designed for kids, too. There's one that we sell lots of in the summertime, the Kid Fun Tab Pro. The kids can have fun in the back seat. Got a USB flash drive port on it, so you can plug in some movies or anything else you might have on your computer, and they're very affordable. So it's a 7-inch can really replace your computer if you're going on a 3-week road trip. It can be your entertainment place, a great way to stay in touch with everybody, and they're really inexpensive for how much power you get. So it's a good idea to consider one. Come put your hands on one.
And a lot of people now have already sitting down in a closet somewhere, a Google, one of the Nexus tablets, the Samsung Galaxy tabs, right, Art? Art's got one sitting in the closet. But that's perfect for that sort of thing, too, because you're not as concerned if something happens.
Exactly, and they're more affordable, too, so it's
got
not
it.
Like it's a huge price to invest in.
Julian Saunders, computer manager at London Drugs, thank you for your travel tip tech ideas.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs.
You're listening
Nobody
to
Does
Tech.
It Better.
Brought
Except
to you in part by you.
London Drugs. Nobody does it better. Except maybe you.
Regular listeners of the show know that a few weeks ago I spent an enjoyable several days at social media camp in Victoria, hanging out with geeks, nerds, and social media types. And one of the king geeks, nerds, and social media types is one of the organizers, Paul Holmes, who joins me now online. How are you doing, Paul?
I'm doing great.
Good. Do you have a bit of a social media camp hangover the weeks following the event?
Oh, every year.
Yeah?
Yeah, there's a lot of, you can imagine, you know, we start organizing, you know, almost a whole year ahead of time. And so, you know.
But regardless of how early you start organizing, it's still just a colossal amount of work in the last few hours, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And, you know, we've got a great team, and that's something that we didn't have the first couple of years. And so I feel a little more relaxed every year.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. And now, so let's talk about what has the feedback been so far on the overall camp? What have you been hearing from the attendees and the speakers, et cetera?
Well, I know one thing that stood out was, you know, how how many people thought that our MC for our awards dinner this year was just
fabulous. Oh, quit sucking up, Paul. Oh, actually, you can continue sucking up for a few more minutes. Yeah,
that is actually true. We did get quite a bit of feedback about that, but. Lots of people just really enjoyed all the speakers and the vibe. I don't know if you got the vibe, but I don't know what the magic sauce is, but every year, you know, people come and they're excited and they're learning and having a great time. And
well, for me, it was my first one, and I just think the networking was what was, you know, the speaking, the content was great, but mm-hmm. Just having that many people together that were all interested in how social media is moving ahead, that was what was compelling for me.
It can be kind of a nerd festival,
yeah.
and a lot of fun. And for people who aren't, you know, maybe as tuned into technology, it's just an opportunity to learn and hang out.
Yeah, and that's the one thing I would say about it for next year is making sure that I want to remember as I talk to you guys about it next year is reminding people that this isn't just for people that are steeped and totally ingrained in social media. This was an event where you could go and you could learn an awful lot. And so if you were just dipping your toes in the pool, there was still lots of value there.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, that's the kind of the unique thing about Social Media Camp compared to a lot of other events around North America is we try to have a broad appeal.
You know,
it's not just for the uber geeks, and it's not just for the newbies, it's for everybody.
And being in Victoria, you have a lot of government, you have a lot of kind of corporate people who can't play in the deep end of the pool in social media. So by nature, they aren't as ingrained with the most current technology and the most current stuff as the rest of us might be.
Yeah, there is that for sure, yeah.
Good. So, and it's not enough that you have the camp. Now you've got to take it on the road. What's this cruise thing that you guys are planning?
Well, you know, I've been on three cruises myself, and I'm a big fan of getting on a boat, notwithstanding some of the companies that we're not using who've had some issues lately. But we're actually really excited about the our first annual social media cruise that's coming up in September, and we're actually doing one of the Pacific Coast repositioning cruises that leaves Vancouver and goes down all the way to LA. And stops in San Francisco and Victoria and Astoria, Oregon on the way. So that's, and really the idea there was, you know, it's not going to be like Social Media Camp in that, you know, everyone comes together for 2 days and it's just go, go, go. We've kind of spread it out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is that business owners, individuals, corporate clients that want to do like a retreat for their marketing people, that sort of thing, they have an opportunity over the span of basically 6 days to do workshops and, have some, spread it out and really, really be able to...
A little less intense.
A little less intense. And hopefully by the time they dock in L.A., have a plan, right? And so it's not just a bunch of great ideas to bring back, but to be able to kind of wrap it all together and say, you know, when we get back to the office, this is what we're doing.
Okay, now fill me in on most of these repositioning cruises. I don't think most of them take 6 days, so this one has got a slightly different itinerary, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's we wanted to pick a longer one. We wanted to pick one that stopped in San Francisco because I don't know, social media has something to do with San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
and so this was just a really great one. We partnered with Norwegian Cruise Line, and we're going on the Jewel, which is really one of the largest ships you can get on the Pacific Coast, and I'm pretty excited. It's a pretty fabulous ship, and people can bring their kids and, you know, their families, and it's just like any of their regular cruises, except it's also going to have social media components.
So, what's the price range of the cruise?
Well, for an inside cabin, all the taxes and everything else, you can actually get in for under $1,000 per person.
Okay.
Which is pretty crazy when you think about it, because if you went, you know, basically anywhere for 6 nights and paid for all your food, you know, there's just no way you'd be able to have a vacation like that, right?
No kidding.
And of course, it's got the camp attached, and it's a write-off.
Oh, well, there you go. That's a triple whammy. So talk to me about the speakers, because I think you're showing remarkably bad taste in your speakers.
Oh, why is that?
I'm just kidding. You've got good speakers.
Well, we've had great speakers at Social Media Camp. We're pretty excited because we've never featured Todd Maffin, who's one of Vancouver's real social media stars.
Yes.
And of course, leaving from Vancouver, we thought we should be featuring a speaker from Vancouver.
And Todd is Todd just going to be giving one talk? Because Todd can speak about a broad spectrum of topics.
Well, all of the speakers will be doing at least one talk and at least one workshop.
Good.
And then there will be a dinner event where people can throw questions as well. And we're also really excited that Chris Krug is coming, who is, you know, the world-renowned photographer, myself and Chris as well. And then we're going to start rolling out speaker announcements over the next month, just one per week.
Okay.
And so we've got a really exciting announcement coming up next week about our speaker who is coming out of the U.S., out of Texas.
Oh, great.
So,
whoa.
Yeah, so, and because, I mean, let's face it, this isn't a Victoria event. This isn't a Vancouver event. Anybody can come from anywhere in the world to be part of, North America's first social media cruise.
Good stuff. So it's about $1,000 and up per person. It is a write-off. It's six days. Is it five nights?
It leaves on the 21st, arrives on the 27th. What is that? That's six nights, right?
Okay.
Six nights, yeah.
Yeah, and then what do you do? Does that include flight home, or you have to book a flight home?
You have to book your flight home.
Okay.
And the idea there is some people, like myself, will want to go to Disneyland after.
Okay, and hang
on. Actually, booked, you know, some group rates for that if people want to do that. But if they want to race back to wherever they're from right away, then they can do that as well.
They can go back. So it's from Vancouver to L.A., six nights, Todd Maffin, Chris Krug. It's got yourself and Paul Holmes, and Chris Bridge also speaking. You're Paul. I got that. So a pretty compelling idea. I like the idea of going on a cruise, and I'm not sure I like the idea of working while I'm on the cruise, but I like the idea of being on a cruise.
Well, I have to say I haven't worked well on a cruise before, but I have been on them. And you know, the thing that's kind of interesting is cruises are perfectly set up for a conference. They've got all their spaces. They've got all their meeting rooms. They've got their theaters.
Yeah,
and all the catering is included.
Well, and that is good, but I do have one question for you what about internet?
Well, and that is, you know, we brought this up with Norwegian Cruise Lines right off the bat. They are going to give us a deal on internet access, but it's not going to be free.
Yeah.
Right? And that's just the reality. I mean, you're out in the middle of the ocean. The internet that you are getting is by satellite,
mm-hmm.
and it's exponentially more expensive for them than it is for, internet.
Terrestrial based stuff, yeah.
Right? And so we're going to, you know, basically bring everything we need along with us. And then, of course, there'll be ports where we can connect to.
Yeah.
And try to keep the internet cost down for everybody.
So who's part of this. The internet will be fine for things like Twitter, but you're not going to be downloading large files.
Exactly.
Good stuff. Well, I'll be looking for the tweets from the boat. I'm sure you'll have a great hashtag for it. You're going to have to come up with something shorter than social media cruise, though.
We've been using hashtag SM cruise.
SM cruise? That'll do.
We used SM camp before for social media camp, so we thought, well, you know, keep it simple.
Yeah.
And socialmediacruise.ca has all the details and information about the event as well.
So you set sail in September.
You betcha.
Good stuff. Should be still good weather then. Paul Holmes is my guest. He's with Social Media Camp, and now the first annual. They're planning on it being a regular social media cruise.
So I wonder, Steve, if I go on this cruise, do you think I can write it off on my taxes?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Of course you can.
I think I'm in then.
You want to go on it, Art?
I love cruises. Cruises are great.
Have you been on one?
I've been on a few cruises, yeah.
Oh, I've never been on a cruise.
It's like everything is within walking distance.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Or rolling distance by the end of the cruise.
If you overeat on a cruise, the calories don't actually count.
You know what bugs me about the boats, and I do know this, and I'm sure this isn't what you want to say during a pitch like this, but they have a morgue on the boats. That's all I'm saying.
They have doctors. They have small mini hospitals. Well,
they have a morgue.
When you're porting a few
5,000 people around.
Yeah, old people, and you got old people drinking heavily and eating lots of Baron of Beef.
They've also got ice cream machines. They've got ice cream machines. So forget about the morgue. Remember, they've got ice cream machines.
So they can freeze you.
Yeah, nonstop ice cream and nonstop pizza.
Oh my goodness! My acid reflex is waking up without me eating anything. Paul, we'll talk to you again about this sometime before, and we'll keep an eye on who your additional speakers are, sir.
Awesome. Thanks, Steve.
Have a good one.
Take care.
That's Paul Holmes. Well, Art, I hope that you do manage to book a on the cruise. I think you'd be a fine addition to the crew.
I absolutely. I will swab the decks. Do they still do that?
I don't know.
Do they need anyone to?
You know what I was thinking about the other day? I don't know why. I was thinking about Gilligan's Island.
Why?
I don't know why.
You don't know why?
But a 3-hour cruise, that's a six-day cruise. I guess it couldn't happen.
I think cruising to be able to learn things about technology, to be able to eat at buffets 3-4 times a day, to just sit on a patio,
and really the key is to be able to write it off.
Come on,
that's
a win-win. That's a win-win-win.
It sounds like a pretty good deal, and I think it'd be a lot of fun. But I haven't been on the cruises. I've never been on a cruise.
I can't believe you've never been on a cruise.
I know, it's true. I've never been on a cruise. Oh, well.
Go to Alaska. I've never been. I've been to all the hot ones, Mexico and the Caribbean.
Yeah, I was originally booked. Actually, I was booked to go on a cruise, a digital photography cruise. I was going to be showing back. It was in 2001. I was booked with my whole family to go on a cruise, the Panama Canal. It was an 11-day cruise. And HP was a sponsor. And we were going to be showing. And everybody who bought the cruise got a really cool HP camera. And I was going to be doing a series of workshops on vacation photography, digital photography.
And then 9/11 happened?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, and we were booked to go. The cruise was booked to start on September like 28th or October 1st or something like that. Yeah, I'd forgotten about that. Yeah.
Heavy.
That's too bad. Well, too bad for me. It was far worse for many others, so I shouldn't complain too much. But yeah, that was my one chance to go. My one chance to go cruising.
Dottotech cruise. I'm in. Dottotech cruise with producer.
Before we do the Dottotech cruise, we still have to form the Dottotech dodgeball team. that's number one on my list of Dottotech priorities. Frankly, Art. You know, if you're going to get right down to it, and A, do you think there'll be a dodgeball too? I see Anchorman 2 soon to be released in theaters. It's going to be a classic. We have to go. But do you think there'll be a Dodgeball 2, speaking of classics?
I don't know if I wasn't a huge Dodgeball fan, but
I'll dodge a wrench.
I
got it down. But I want to be Patches O'Callaghan in the remake, if they do it. The new Patches O'Callaghan.
No, Rip Torn's out.
Well, he's dead. The sign got dropped on his head. He's done. He can't come back. He can come back as a ghost, I guess. That would be it. That is all the time we have for this week. I need to thank our guests, Mari Smith. I'd like to thank Paul from Social Media Camp, and, of course, Julian as well. And you, Art, you were just awesome.
Thank you.
As usual. And next week on the show, we're going to be talking about social media influencers. Ooh, it's going to be really interesting. Very compelling stuff. Please join us again next week right here for more Dottotech.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.